This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, let's get right to it. There is a whole lot going on, but before we go any further, there were some editorials in the Washington Post, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Very interesting. I know this isn't necessarily your bailiwick, but Montgomery County and Loudoun County have voted to put the brakes on growth and development in two of the fastest growing places in Virginia. And they just said, we don't have the infrastructure to handle this anymore. We have to stop and we can't approve anything.
I'm not sure how the law works up in Maryland, but in Virginia, it's interesting when you talk about offsite impacts of transportation issues, that's not something local government can hang their hat on as the only reason to reject a development. So if you have areas zoned for a certain type of development, project comes in, the rezoning takes place, you cannot deny it because of off-site impacts related to traffic.
Because you've already zoned it a certain way, and if they are meeting those zoning requirements, then they should be allowed to do it.
Right.
Even if it brings 50,000 new cars and your roads are tiny.
Right. Mm. So at the time of rezoning is the most critical time. And certainly this one up in Loudoun County reflects, I think, some of the changing political climate. It has been a pendulum swinging back and forth in Loudoun County, Virginia. And in 1999, there was what, you know, is typically called a smart growth board of supervisors. A lot of them lost their reelection efforts in 2003. It's unusual in Loudoun County in that the entire board is elected all at the same time. In Albemarle County, we elect three supervisors in one cycle, three in another cycle. In Loudoun County, the whole shoot match is up.
Oh, it can all change overnight.
All at once. So, and they elect their chair.
So what are we looking at in Albemarle County? Because there's elections next year, right?
Next year, we have three seats up. And I don't like to put labels on our elected officials.
Hate the labels. But what are the labels?
But if you had to think of those elected officials who have a track record of voting in favor of development versus those who have raised concerns over the years and you might put a smart growth kind of label on them, or let's not attract growth. That's one of the things Dennis Rooker has said. He is all for slowing down the rate of growth.
Right.
Other supervisors have been more inclined to support growth. But it varies on each development. So it is hard to pigeonhole.
Yeah.
But the three supervisors that are up have traditionally been in that camp of approving more rather than less.
So the I hate labels too, but the pro growth faction of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors are all up for reelection next November.
That's right. Ken Boyd, who represents the Ravana District, Lindsay Doyer, who represents the Scottsville District, and David Wyant, who represents Whitehall and the Crozet area. So those will all be interesting races. And at this point, none of them have even, declared officially that they're running.
Right, right.
So we're waiting to see who runs.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year because, of course, all the Senate seats in Richmond and all the House of Delegates seats are also up. The entire General Assembly is up for reelection.
It will be a big election cycle. Charlottesville Tomorrow, as I mentioned last week, we'll be covering that. We're even talking about adding video to some of the election candidate forums, and we'll put some video out there too.
Speaking of convergence, we'll be talking with Steve Safran of LostRemote.com in the 5 o'clock hour. Mr. Convergence from Boston, a good friend of the program, and LostRemote.com, one of the biggest convergence blogs out there.
The Loudoun County example, though, is a good segue into what we've been talking about here locally. Biscuit Run is the biggest development that's on our radar, and again, that's 3,500 housing units as currently proposed. This one up in Northern Virginia, I don't have the number right in front of me, but I want to say it was tens of thousands of homes.
Wow.
And so a much bigger development,
yeah.
And the impacts will be huge up there. But we're looking at what will the impact of 3,500 homes south of I-64 between Avon Street and Old Lynchburg Road, what is that going to, what impact will that have on traffic, on education, schools, on the infrastructure?
Grocery store lines, fast food lines, all the above, et al.
So last week we talked, and I've since put a map up on our blog, cvilletomorrow.org is the website, but I detailed four projects between UVA's Fontaine Research Park, and if you run a line north-south 2 miles, you run into Biscuit Run at the bottom. And I put a map up of these four projects, two of which had action last week by the County Planning Commission. They approved UVA's request to expand slightly the Fontaine Research Park. The big news on the Fontaine Research Park is that they are expecting an additional request to come in to add another 300,000 to 500,000 square feet of research space.
So they're segmenting this growth.
What do you mean by segmenting?
They're coming forward, can we grow this much? And then they're also going to come forward later and say, well, can we grow this much more?
Correct. But they only asked to expand one building basically by 30,000 square feet. So it was a minor request.
Oh, right, right.
But it's, so, you know, getting into the pipeline here.
Well, I'm all for that. I think
there
that's
will be a bigger one.
I think these are beautiful. And I'm just speaking for myself, but I think some of these office parks that UVA is doing are absolutely beautiful, and they bring in terrific jobs. So
certainly one of our high-tech employment centers. Just south of that is a project called the Granger property. That will be in front of the County Planning Commission November 28th. Corin Capshaw owns that property, and they're talking about putting 500,000 square feet of office space there and another 400 housing units in potentially up to 8-story buildings. So that's just south of the Fontaine Research
Park.
So
this is that intersection of 64 and, like, the 250 bypass 29 north.
It's not even – well, it's near that intersection.
Yeah.
You can't get to it from that intersection. The only way to get to this property is through Stribling Avenue, excuse me, in the city.
Oh, right, right.
Or Sunset Avenue in the county. So one of the things that will be talked about with Fontaine and with the Granger property is a new road to be proffered that would interconnect all those things. And certainly that's what will be talked about with Biscuit Run, too. What are the proffers going to be? Where are the transportation hot points going to be that we need to have the county look at very carefully? And Dave Norris was on WINA this morning, city councilor.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about all of these projects and saying, you know, city residents are concerned. City residents have a stake here, and they need to be active and vocal as well.
Yeah, and a lot of folks don't even know this is going on.
It's just on the border of the city of Charlottesville. Biscuit Run is in front of the County Planning Commission tonight. That's at 6:30, the county office building south. That's probably 6 o'clock, I think.
Tonight?
6 o'clock tonight, county office building.
You know, looking at your map at your website, SeavilleTomorrow.com, that Biscuit Run is huge.
It is big.
I mean, just on the map in relation to everything around
it. Almost 1,000 acres.
Gosh. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. That's SeavilleTomorrow.org. If you have a comment or a question regarding growth and development in our area, give me a call, 977-1070. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, our guest on Charlottesville right now. What is going? You just showed me a picture. What is this in? Where is this from?
Oh,
the Seville Weekly.
That's an ad in the Seville Weekly. I don't know if it's in this week's.
That's shocking.
But if you go to thegleason.com,
The Gleason,
you can see these pictures.
This is, tell folks what this is and what I'm looking at. That is absolutely shocking.
What Coy is holding up is a picture of an L-shaped. 6-story condominium building. It'd be 71 luxury condominiums in downtown Charlottesville.
My gosh.
Just off 2nd Street and Garrett Street. And it's near the new ACAC Fitness Center.
Which is quite beautiful.
And just adjacent to the old Gleason's building, which has got, you know, there's a Sammy Snacks was in there for
a
while.
Yeah, yeah.
And So anyway. But
it's huge.
It's in front of the City Planning Commission tonight. What's interesting about it is it's a by right development. At that place in downtown, they could go to 9 stories and it would be by right.
Gosh, it is huge. It's a huge building. Who's going to live in all these places? 71 luxury condominiums right downtown?
That's what they're calling it.
And this building is, you should see this picture, folks. This building is huge.
That will be on the City Planning Commission tonight. Their meeting starts at 6:30, the city's. The county's starts at 6 o'clock for Biscuit Run. But in the city, this item is not up for a public hearing. There is no public comment.
So if you object to this big, huge new building downtown, sour grapes.
Correct. It's a by-right development. It's being brought before the Planning Commission, quote, based on the size and impact to the surrounding area.
Yeah.
So that's something at the discretion of the head of neighborhood development.
Right.
He can bring something in front of the Planning Commission and say, FYI.
Well, there's tremendous impact. I mean, even we were talking with Chief Longo at one point about all these folks living downtown and how that affects. You need some more police down there, you know, when you have so many more folks moving around downtown.
One of the things the city is looking at is whether 9 stories by right should be allowed throughout this whole zone downtown. In some places, they may change that ordinance and say you can only go to 4 stories. And then if you want to go above that, you know, you have to get a special use permit.
Right, right.
At this point, they don't even need a special use permit. They don't need any waivers. They can just go up to 9 stories.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be pretty when it's done.
This one's going to 6. It's called the Gleason.
Wow. And this is just one of many new high-rises slated for downtown, right?
The many being talked about.
Yeah.
And some of them have, you know, not materialized yet, and others are in the works.
And they're not going to build them now anyway. Can they sell them in this market?
It's hard to say. You know, I think in the county as well, there are rezonings that keep moving forward, like Biscuit Run, and thousands of units of housing are being talked about. But, yeah, over what time frame will they be built?
And that's, I guess that's what a developer has to do. He or she develops. You plan, you develop. You don't necessarily go out and build right away. You have to all, you have to be thinking 5, 10, 15 years down the road.
I'll put a plug in for the Piedmont Environmental Council.
Plug. Love the
they
plug.
They have just published a report. When we get a substantial report about a growth and development issue, whoever's putting it out, I've been trying to bring that up. And this one is from the Piedmont Environmental Council. They've been tracking carefully the housing pipeline. And what they have calculated is that right now we have 17,832 housing units approved or under review.
In the pipeline.
In the pipeline. Of those, 8,132 are already approved.
Wow.
And that's city and county, and that's in our designated growth areas. So the city is a designated growth area.
Yeah.
And then places like Crozet and 29 North.
Gosh.
So there's a lot going on. That's also
is that a lot? I mean, because I don't know. I haven't been to Orange County. Or how do we compare?
Well, this is what they conclude. This represents the largest short-term burst of residential development in Charlottesville and Albemarle's history. So this is the largest burst in the pipeline ever.
Wow.
And it's continuing as we talk about.
Yeah.
Each week there's a new project.
Yeah. The developers keep coming to the table and everybody wants to live here. Who wouldn't want to live here? Brian Wheeler lives here.
We're scrambling to keep up with it, Coy. So speaking of keeping up with things, I was listening to WINA this morning.
As I do every morning.
Because it was Government Day, and I love Government Day because you get a city councilor and a member of the Board of Supervisors in. And you get to hear what they think is going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Dave Norris was on, and he was talking all about some of these projects and talking about his Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and that apparently is moving forward for those people following that issue.
Yeah.
And then David Slutsky got on, and he was talking about transportation issues. That's one of his major efforts right now in the regional transit agreement between the city and the county. And then he got a phone call in from a Crozet resident. And who was asking about...
Tom Loach?
It was Tom Loach.
How did I know that?
Tom's probably listening right now.
Because Tom is one of those, he's one of those people that just pays attention. You know, give credit where credit's due.
Tom's very plugged in.
And he reads the reports and he does the math. It's impressive.
So Tom asked Mr. Slutsky why the supervisors didn't accept more public feedback about the site of the Crozet Library, something that's been talked about out in that community. Because he felt like they were all at this meeting and the supervisors apparently didn't ask for public comment. So he wanted to know why. David Slutsky responded and said, that's an interesting question. And in fact, I'm going to do something about it next year. And what he said he's going to do is activate a website called talktoyourgovernment.com. There's a placeholder up for it right now. It's not ready yet, but talktoyourgovernment.com will be a place for online referendums. And Mr. Slutsky said he's going to invite all of his constituents in the Rio District to give him their email address. And then he will notify them of an issue that's before the board and ask them what they think about it.
And take a little survey.
So I'm wondering, Coy, given your Sorensen work, what do you think about
it?
Have you ever heard of this?
Sure, yeah. And I think because there's a little program called SurveyMonkey that you can use to create online polling.
But have you ever
heard
of an elected official doing that for every major issue?
No. And I think true leadership demands that you touch base with your constituents, but you don't always do exactly what your constituents might vote for every decision. That's what leadership is. You elect a leader. You don't elect a mouthpiece.
And the question in his mind was, how, as an elected official, do you accurately read the will of your constituents? And he said he wants to have a way he can gather this feedback in a massive way and have it be organized. And
who knows how
it'll be interesting.
It might turn out to be pretty cool, especially if he creates a true online community for his district where folks can post, you know, text or video or, you know, whatever.
But one thing we should point out, now, if David Slutsky asked his constituents in the Rio District about the Crozet Library site, they're going to have a much different opinion about it since they don't live in Crozet.
Right. Might not care.
That's something that we have to keep in mind.
Unless you run into somebody like my wife who takes the kids out there all the time and can't wait for a new library.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow at SevilleTomorrow.org. And let me just say that your website is pretty amazing. It gets better every week. I mean, you must just sit over there all day long tweaking that thing. I mean, for folks, if you have not seen SevilleTomorrow.org, you should check it out. Absolutely. I would strongly encourage you to pay a visit to SevilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Absolutely. We will see you next week.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.